This is Welcome to Babylon. My name's Jeremy Kendall, and I'm your host. In this podcast, I discuss with various guests news and current events through the lens of the Bible. The Bible often makes reference to this world as Babylon, and even though we live in sinful Babylon, we are called to be holy as He is holy. We're called to be different. We're called to be set apart. So let's take a look together at God's Word, our instruction for life. Welcome to Babylon. Hello again, this is Welcome to Babylon. Well, us Kiwis down here in New Zealand have now seen two elections fairly close to each other with mind-blowing results for conservative evangelical Christians. First, we had the Kiwi election, resulting in a Labour-led government. And we've just recently seen the US election resulting in, well, we'll find out when all the proceedings in the courts are finished. But I think for most of us, these results have actually hit us pretty hard. As we think about what could possibly be on the cards for these Western nations that are increasingly embracing evil ideology, we're left with the question, what's going on? What's the future for us Christians? Well, as a Kiwi married to an American, as you can imagine, these last few weeks have actually been pretty intense, to say the least. As we've looked at New Zealand, we've wept over the results of the euthanasia referendum. The thought that many will choose to die, that they'll attempt to play God in taking their own life, has literally left my wife and I in tears. And we've watched from miles away as the results, or lack thereof, have slowly dripped in to decide the president of the United States. It's been a rough few weeks. But nothing's new. As we look back over the decades, New Zealand has seen our government systematically introduce wicked laws into this nation. First, we saw the legalization of prostitution, so-called homosexual marriage, some of the most vicious abortion laws in the world, and we await laws regarding hate speech. Jacinda Ardern has promised us that she will address this in her next term in government, laws that could potentially stop the gospel from being preached in the pulpits of New Zealand. That's not going to stop us. I assure you, us preachers are going to keep on sharing the gospel message, but they're going to make an attempt to silence us. So governments have been coming up with evil laws, and they've been leading according to their own sinful desires for a long time now. Nothing is new. That in mind, as we look ahead, should we fear what is to come? No. Well, how then should we as Christians respond to these results of both elections? Well, before we answer this question, I want us to talk briefly about the sovereignty of God, a topic that we've so often left out of the conversation. And yet this is central to how we react to such elections. If you as a Christian man or woman believe in the infallibility of Scripture, then you must also hold to the truth that God is sovereign. But that's not always an easy thing to do, is it? We say God is sovereign, and yet we act like He's not. We preach a sermon, we share our testimony, and yet all the while we're worrying about where our next paycheck's coming from, if we'll lose the house, if our political party will make it into power. But He is still the King. In fact, He's the King above all kings. I want us to look at Isaiah 46, verse 9 to 11. It says this, "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purposes, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it." So every tiny little thing that happens in this world happens under the sovereign rule of God our Father. So was God surprised that Prime Minister Ardern won this election? Is He holding His breath as He awaits the results of the court proceedings brought forth by President Trump? No. No, He's King. He knows exactly what's next, and he's working it all out to the glory of his name. So I wanted to start with that thought that God is, in fact, sovereign. And with that in mind, now we can ask this question: how should we as Christians respond to the results of our nation's election? Well, first, we're instructed in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 17, to honor those who have been placed over us as our leaders. Let's read that passage. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Notice the order there in that verse. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Yes, we are to honor the emperor, the president, the prime minister. But first and foremost, we are to fear, in a healthy way, God. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is actually the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So yes, you are to honor those who are placed over you. So if that's President Donald J. Trump, if it's Jacinda Ardern, regardless of which party you align yourself with, you are to bring honor to them as leaders. But we do it in the knowledge that it is our Lord who has permitted them to actually sit on their throne, to go and make their home in the White House, if you like. And this wouldn't have been an easy thing for Peter to actually say, or the other disciples, because Emperor Nero, in his day, well, he was after their heads. Being a Christian in Peter's day was like being a Jew in Nazi Germany. And in this context, Peter was saying, honor them. So even though his leaders were after his life, he told his followers, his disciples, to honor the leaders. What a challenge. So are you honoring your leaders? What have you said to your friends about President Trump or Prime Minister Ardern? What have you posted on Facebook? Is there a meme that's coming to mind in the back of your mind that perhaps you put up, you thought was a bit funny, but perhaps was inappropriate and didn't really honor those who are leading you? And especially for the Kiwis, I want to pose this question. Do you give them honor by using their formal title? Here in New Zealand, everyone's known by their first name. It's our culture to just say, hey, Jeremy, how's it going? If we saw Prime Minister Ardern in the supermarket, and that's something you can actually do here in New Zealand, bump into the Prime Minister, most of us would say, hey, Jacinda, how's it going? Or should we give them their formal title and respect them in that way? I think back to the first debate of President Trump and Vice President Biden, and I saw Vice President Biden call the president a fool and a clown. Even though I disagree with many of both of these men's policies, we are to respect them in their title, and we are to bring them honor because they are serving us in this way. So we shouldn't be calling names. We shouldn't be even just using their first name, but in fact, I believe we should be referring to them by their full title. And here in New Zealand, that title is actually really an important one, Prime Minister. Well, if we break that title down, it means number one, Prime Minister Servant. Number one servant. She has given many years to serve this country. Whether you agree with what she has to say, regardless, we should honor her as instructed here in Scripture for doing this great work of service. So first things first, regardless of who's in power, we are to honor our leaders. Second, The Bible tells us that we are to be content in any and every circumstance. Why? Well, because every circumstance we ever encounter comes from the hand of our sovereign God. He has permitted these things to take place. Just think of all the Christian men and women throughout the book of Acts, and throughout church history, that have suffered for the name of Jesus. They were locked in prisons, burnt at the stake. And yet many of them went to their death singing hymns of praise to God. How could they do that? Because Jesus was enough for them. Because God is sovereign, we can actually be content with anything that is thrown our way. Whether that's just having a rough time, being egged on at work about your faith, or literally being burnt to death. Paul puts it like this in Philippians 4, verse 10 to 13. He says, "For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need." And here's that verse we hear so often. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That's the context of this verse. Not if I want to be famous or if I want to be a successful businessman, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But when the Lord permits me to suffer for his name, he will empower me to persevere to the end. He gives us strength for the task that he gives us. And so whatever that may be, whether that is just living out a life here in New Zealand and in America and in a fairly comfortable Western way, we can now join with Paul in Philippians 1, verse 20 to 21, where he says, "To live is Christ and to die is gain." Regardless of what happens, whether I'm persecuted or I have a chill life, whether the Republicans or National or the Democrats or Labour get into power, it doesn't matter because Jesus is enough for me. So whether I live or whether I die, I'm good. We must be content with what is at hand. Thirdly, and I think perhaps this is the most important one, the Bible instructs us to pray for our leaders. I think we should also add that we should pray for our country, pray for the return of our King, Jesus. If you'll join me in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 to 2, we read these words. Of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This peace that we're pursuing here, that we want to see in our land, can only come through the work of Jesus Christ. So not only should we be praying that these leaders lead well and lead according to the will of God, but we need to be praying that they would come to salvation, that they would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the grace we have in him. Are you praying for President Donald J. Trump, for Vice President Joe Biden, for Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern? Are you praying for people like Kim Jong-un? They all need our prayers. Pray for your leaders. So there you have it. What are some of the things we should do in response to these elections? I think we've got three really good points that will help us live out our life under these men and women over the next few years. Number one, honor your leaders who have been placed there by God, our sovereign God. Number two, be content in all circumstances because Jesus is enough. And thirdly, pray for them night and day. Teach your children to pray for them as well in their prayers before bed, that they might lead according to the will of God, our Father, and that they may come to the knowledge of grace. That's what we really want to see. Wouldn't it be cool if President Trump, Vice President Biden, and Prime Minister Ardern all came to a knowledge of Jesus? What would the What would the countries look like if they led from such knowledge? Well, I hope these few points have been helpful. We do have some great episodes coming up on Welcome to Babylon. Firstly, we're going to look at critical race theory. This is a really important topic that we need to keep an eye out as it slips into many churches. And then, well, the silly season is upon us. Christmas, how should we celebrate it? What is good for us to engage with? And perhaps what should we avoid? We'll be talking about that in early December. And finally, as we approach the summer months, at least here in New Zealand, all going to plan, I'm going to have a guest on who's going to chat with me a little bit about modesty. How should we present ourselves on the beach and around our towns during the hot, hot months of January and February? So to keep up with all that's happening next, make sure you look us up on Instagram and pre-subscribe right here for more episodes of Welcome to Babylon.